Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jars and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about the Packers defense today. A lot to talk about Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers. To help us do that, to take one last look back at the 2012 season, joining us for the last time this year, we've got Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, I've got a little bit of a tear in my eye, I think.
Yeah, it's sad that it's my last time that I'll be on for this season, but hopefully I'll be on many times in the future still.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's talk about this playoff loss. The Packers let Colin Kaepernick run wild over them to the tune of 181 yards, which set a all-time record for a quarterback in an NFL game. Whose head's on the chopping block here? In not Dom Capers, I'm talking about players. Who's at fault for allowing Kaepernick to do this?
Really, it was first off a great job by San Francisco's run blockers. Their offensive line has been the best run blocking unit in the league. Bruce Miller has been the best run blocking fullback. And in this game, even Vernon Davis was chipping in there. When the Packers have a hard time stopping Adrian Peterson, it's because players are missing tackles on him left and right. But in this game, it was San Francisco did a great job of keeping the Packers players away from Colin Kaepernick. There were those few plays where you could clearly see that the offensive or the outside linebacker clearly didn't know who had the football, and that caused a lot of problems. But really throughout it, it was players not getting anywhere near Kaepernick. One of the biggest players to blame is, I would say, C.J. Wilson, who typically is an asset stopping the run. But for most of the game, you could see that he was clearly getting blocked away from the runner, and especially late in the game, it looked like he was worn out and had even worse plays later in the game. Another player, Brad Jones, who we came to expect to play well against the run, and he had a number of good plays in this game, but then a number of bad ones where he was clearly blocked as well. Then outside of that, some of the outside linebackers had those few plays, but outside of those few plays, really didn't do all that poorly.
I know just reading yesterday in the media, the assistant coaches were defending outside linebacker Eric Walden. And I think perhaps it was outside linebackers coach Kevin Green, and maybe it was just that one play. I think Colin Kaepernick ran, a zone option read there for like 59 yards. How did Eric Walden do? How do you think he did against the 49ers?
Oh, yeah, there was that one play, and then there was another one where it was his job to stop the runner from going to the outside, and then he allowed him to go to the outside for another bigger gain. But outside of those two plays, he wasn't consistently doing poor in the run game. It was just those two huge plays. Then in terms of pass rushing, he did get two hurries against Anthony Davis, who is a very good right tackle, and that was more pressure than I expected Walden to get, at least. So it was definitely not a great game for Walden, but he wasn't playing consistently poorly like some of the other Packers defenders were.
Well, the future of Dom Capers here is kind of in question, and it's kind of the topic of the day, topic of the moment here in terms of the Green Bay Packers. What can we say about the performance of this unit during the 2012 season from a season-long perspective?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Dom's future, but I think regardless of who's the defensive coordinator, I think the future can be very bright for the defense, and it all starts at the secondary. Morgan Burnett, Casey Hayward, and Sam Shields were all playing at Pro Bowl levels or close to it throughout the season, and the Packers should have all three in the secondary for years to come. Tremont Williams, for the most part, did a good job of stopping other teams' number one receivers. And MD Jennings, Ron McMillan, and Devon House all showed sparks of playing well this year. So the Packers should be set at the secondary position for a number of years going forward. At linebacker, of course, they have Clay Matthews and Desmond Bishop coming back. Hopefully, fully healthy will be huge. Outside of that, Brad Jones played surprisingly well at inside linebacker. He wasn't playing as well as Desmond Bishop, but I would say he is a step up to A.J. Hawk, and I personally would like Jones to replace Hawk in the starting lineup next year. Nick Perry was doing well at outside linebacker, and hopefully he will also come back healthy and can be the solution to the other outside linebacker spot, as that was always a struggle spot for the Packers once he went down with injury. Outside of that, I think the biggest problem is the defensive line. B.J. Raji shows some sparks of playing well, but he doesn't do it consistently enough. Ryan Pickett is getting to that age where we can expect to see a decline in his play, even though he was playing well against the run all season, and he was one of the few bright spots in the run defense in the last game. I think with Terrell Worthy, it might be too early to call him a bust, but he looks like he's going down that path. The Packers had been using him as a pass rusher, and he just simply wasn't getting the pressure. And then Mike Neal has played very well late in the season as an interior pass rusher, but prior to that, his problem was consistently getting on the field, so hopefully he can consistently be a player for the Packers that they can count on. But I think the future looks very bright, and if there's one spot to really improve, I think it would be the defensive line.
It seemed to me like Tramon Williams, and you know, you said before that he basically did a good job covering the other team's number one wide receiver. I agree, but I think I did see him fade a little bit down the stretch. What's been the problem with Tramon?
Yeah, in two of the last three games, he hasn't been playing very well. He did do well in the playoff game against the Vikings last week, but I think one of the problems might be for the majority of the season, and especially in the middle of the season, it was always his job to go up against the number one receiver, go line up wherever the number one receiver lined up, and I'm guessing that he was probably getting help when he was doing that. Whereas these last three games, he was lining up at the left cornerback spot, regardless of who was lining up across from him, and I wouldn't be surprised, since the Packers may not have viewed the other teams as having a number one receiver, that Tramon Williams might not have been getting as much help. So I'm not sure if it's so much that Tramon Williams as a player wasn't playing well, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was not getting as much help. And I also could see if it was his job to study the tendencies of a single wide receiver that he could do well at that, where he had to go keep track of how a number of wide receivers were doing. So that could also be a factor in there.
Looking at the offensive side of the football, on Saturday night, Colin Kaepernick outperformed Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, was it simply a case of the Packers not, you know, doing poor on defense and not getting the ball in the hands of Aaron Rodgers enough? I mean, how did Aaron Rodgers do and kind of compared to Colin Kaepernick?
Aaron Rodgers had a decent game in this one. It clearly wasn't a record-breaking performance, but he still played fairly well in the game. I think it's something where it's hard because the Packers and 49ers play two very different kinds of offenses, where the Packers typically run a lot of offensive plays. They control the clock, where San Francisco, they run the ball a lot, control the clock that way, and almost play defense by keeping the other offense off the field. So I'm not sure if it's something that they didn't give the ball to Aaron Rodgers enough in terms of the pass-to-run ratio, but something where the defense, if they could have played better, then we would have seen Aaron Rodgers on the field more, which is what we really needed to see.
I think Greg Jennings had a down season. I don't think that. I know that. But, part of it was due to injury. But he did seem to pick it up near the end of the season. Do you think it was enough for him to command a big contract this offseason?
I think he played well enough late in the season to make sure that he didn't receive just a one-year prove that you're still a good player, and then you can get another contract. I think he played well enough to avoid that kind of situation. But I don't think he'll be getting the numbers that he wants to get just because he never played at the elite level this year like he was doing the previous year. I think another problem for him might be that oftentimes when a wide receiver on an elite passing team goes to another team, he doesn't do as well. The first player to come to mind with that is a player like Robert Meacham, who was consistently a role player in the Saints offense, and then he goes to San Diego, and the second half of the season, he can barely see the field. And then I could also see the market not being as big for him with the number of other good receivers on the market. And I know a lot of the rumors take him to Miami, but the Dolphins do have a good slot receiver in Devon Bess, who has played well when he plays in the slot, but not nearly as well when he plays outside. So I'm not sure if the Dolphins would be the best fit for him.
Well, Nathan, that wraps up the 2012 season for us. Again, thank you so much for joining us all season long. We appreciate your insight, your analysis. You do a great job, and we'll talk to you again next season.
Yeah, I've enjoyed being on every Wednesday, and I look forward to talking to you again whenever I get the chance.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Nathan. Take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. We got a lot more to talk about. Yesterday, and we continue talking primarily about defense today. The Packers wrapped up the 2012 season yesterday from a media availability standpoint. Mike McCarthy gave a season-ending press conference. And it was kind of odd. Of course, he was asked about the future of Dom Capers. After the showing in the playoffs, kind of knew that was coming. It was kind of weird. And, you know, the way Mike McCarthy handled it, saying he was, quote, appalled, unquote, that he had to answer questions about the job security of Dom Capers. And again, maybe we shouldn't even call it job security, as our own Jamie Jores here has pointed out in our article at Cheesehead TV. For all we know, unless the Packers have not announced something here, Dom Capers' contract is up after this season. I mean, obviously, I think contracts kind of run through the end of the league year, so it doesn't, you know, technically expire until the end of February, March, whenever the end of the league year is. But so it could be a case of, you know, do the Packers rehire Dom Capers? And that's the question. But it rubbed me the wrong way, the way Mike McCarthy handled yesterday's press conference in terms of answering questions about Dom Capers, saying he was appalled he had to do that. Well, Mike, you know, as many people have pointed out, they were appalled by the performance of the Packers' defense. It's a legitimate question about what the Packers are going to do. Now, it's fine to defend Dom Capers, by all means. If that's what you feel, go ahead and do it. It's fine to say you're going to wait to make a decision because you don't want to make a rash decision. That's fine, too. Don't insult the fans and the media by saying you're appalled by their questioning. Just answer the question, Mike. Just answer the question. We don't need this rhetoric that you're above being asked about, you know, somebody's job, which you're in charge of when you're the head coach, when you choose who your assistant coaches are, when you help determine the makeup of this team after an exit in the playoffs. Spare us that, head coach Mike McCarthy. And I will admit, this is the first time that Mike McCarthy has really irked me as a fan. I love Mike McCarthy's McCarthyisms. And you sit here and you listen to these press conferences and he talks about pad level and being positive, and if you're a hardcore fan of the Packers, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you're the type of person that really watches Mike McCarthy, speak 100 times a year, you learn some of his mannerisms and you know how he talks but doesn't really say anything in his press conferences most of the time, things like that. And I think head coaches have to do that. You don't make rash decisions. I think you always stay positive about your players, things like that. But yesterday showed a little chink in the armor, I guess. He reacted emotionally when he shouldn't have, Mike McCarthy. So I thought that was odd. I thought that was weird. I thought that was out of character from Mike McCarthy. The plain truth is, the Packers have to think about making a change at defensive coordinator. Here's what I think. I think they will keep Dom Capers. That's what I think will happen. I'm not sure that's what I would do if I were Mike McCarthy, if I were the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Of course I'm not. Many people would point out I'm barely qualified to do this, host a podcast, let alone be the head coach of the Packers. But, considering Dom Capers' contract is reportedly up, I think I would go in a different direction. Love Dom Capers. I have the most respect in the world for Dom Capers. He's a stand-up guy. He's done a great job. He helped the Packers win a Super Bowl. That being said, football, just like the players, I think is a young man's game. You need somebody with that youth that can invigorate the defense, that's going to figure out ways to stop things, to change things. I think one of the more disappointing aspects this season was the lack of creativity we saw from Dom Capers compared to the past. Not using that psycho package ever in 2012. You saw blitzes here and there from guys. And I think the argument the Packers would give you is that they had a very young defense. At times you'd see five rookies on the field all at the same time. So they didn't want to complicate things. They didn't want to confuse things. Charles Woodson wasn't there for most of the season. So they didn't want, he's a guy they would blitz a lot. And thus they didn't when he wasn't on the field. They didn't want to run the psycho package with all those rookies out there. They didn't run those zone blitzes with defensive linemen dropping into coverage like they did with B.J. Raji scoring his touchdown in the 2010 NFC Championship game. Technically 2011, but it happened in the 2010 season. You know what I mean. Those things disappointed me. Those were things I didn't see from the Dom Capers defense. And things I would like to see. And I think the Packers need a change. I think you go and you find somebody else out there. I've said it before. I'm a big proponent of Darren Perry, the safeties coach. He just seems to have what it takes. And I know he's received overtures from other teams out there. I think when the Arizona Cardinals were looking for a defensive coordinator, I think they either interviewed him or wanted to interview him. Whatever it was. I think when Reggie McKenzie became general manager in Oakland, I think there was some talk about wanting Darren Perry, although I'm not sure it came to fruition or the Packers even allowed him. They have to allow assistant coaches to interview for positions like that. But I mean, that's where I'm at. That's what I think about, what the Packers should do with their defensive coordinator position. So, it's weird. Franklin Hillside on the live blog comments, McCarthy is not going to talk about contract info. He doesn't with players. No way he does it with a coach or coordinator. Now, Ted Thompson should maybe address that. Yeah, it's a weird situation. From what I gather, from what I've read, almost all assistant coaches in the NFL signed two-year contracts. And from the way I understand it, after the 2010 season when the Packers won a Super Bowl, that earned the coaches on the staff, pretty much all of them, like a one-year contract extension that I understood it expired after this season. So, you know, it's weird. It's weird how this all is working out. It's not necessarily firing Dom Capers as opposed to potentially not hiring him. So, but again, I think the Packers got to go a different direction, but Mike McCarthy said yesterday he is, quote, very confident, unquote, that Dom Capers will be the defensive coordinator next season, next year. And you know, based upon that's what I base my decision upon. I can only go upon what the Packers actually say. Not to say that they would ever change their mind. Mike McCarthy admitted as much that he will evaluate the entire team. And you know, he says that's his job, and it is. And you know, I give him credit for that. You know, the reasons for getting rid of Dom Capers have been pointed out many times by many people. Throwing out the Super Bowl season and the other four recent exits of the Packers under Dom Capers in 2009, 2011, and 2012, you know, Dom Capers' defenses in their losses in the playoffs have given up like an average of over 500 yards a game and over 40 points a game. It's weird. So I mean that, and then you look at the comments of a guy like Charles Woodson after the 49ers game, saying they weren't prepared for what Colin Kaepernick did to them. Like, they didn't know he was going to do that. Wasn't sure he was going to run the read option maybe as much as they did, or I don't know. You know, yesterday Dom Capers points out the scrambling that hurt him more so than the read option. You know, you've got all these things going on. I got to point out here that the quote of the year, maybe the quote of the century, the quote of the decade, outside linebackers coach Kevin Green, being asked about the future of Dom Capers and whether he's the man for the job, Kevin Green responding with, "Does a fat baby fart?" I have no clue what that means, but that was just classic. Does a fat baby fart? Yeah. Yeah, they do, Kevin. Yeah, they do. Oh, man. That was just a classic response. I mean, of course, a predictable response from a Packers assistant coach sticking up for somebody else on the staff, his superior. But still, you know, that's classic. But yeah, again, I think Dom Capers will be back. I'm not sure I would make that decision, whether it's inside the organization, outside. I think the Packers got to keep the 3-4 defense. Like I've said, the overriding decision is that it fits Clay Matthews' skill set. He's the best player on your defense. I think you build around him and you keep the 3-4. You just need something else. Somebody younger, more youthful, more energetic. Somebody who's going to scheme, be creative. But somebody who's been around the block too and knows what's going on. So that's what I see. You know, other news from yesterday. I mean, the talk was all about the defense mostly. We did learn that Aaron Rodgers is not going to play in the Pro Bowl because of injuries. And, you know, they were cited, I think, lower extremity injuries. In other words, to his legs. It kind of piques your interest and kind of makes you wonder, boy, our quarterback got banged up. Is he all right? Are there knee issues here with Aaron Rodgers? And you know, no doubt he's banged up. I mean, every player in the NFL is banged up after a long season. So I doubt it's anything too serious. And of course, players, for the most part, just looking for an excuse to get out of the Pro Bowl and going to be like, well, I'm not going to risk it, even if it's minor. I think that's kind of the case here. Aaron Rodgers could play if he had to, but seeing this is just an exhibition, he's not going to take any chances. So that's understandable. And it's, you know, kind of goes with the whole should there, should there not be a Pro Bowl if guys are going to, you know, ask out for what is rather minor injuries for an exhibition game, a game that doesn't count. And you know, I almost have to agree that there shouldn't be a Pro Bowl game, that they got to figure out some way to get around it, you know, something like that. So, you know, that's what you, the way I think you feel about Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing, and you know, whatever, you know, it's not a big deal that he's missing the Pro Bowl. That, and of course, I'm not sure this was, we talked about on Monday, it's actually the Packers staff coaching the Pro Bowl. As one of the teams that lost in the divisional round of the playoffs, they've been asked to coach the Pro Bowl. So this is now the second year in a row the Packers will coach the Pro Bowl team. And actually the third time overall in Mike McCarthy's tenure. I think they did it after the 2007 season when the Packers were bounced in what was then the NFC Championship game. Now they ask teams that lose in the divisional round to do that. But so, yeah, there will be a couple more Packers in Hawaii as the whole staff will be coaching the Pro Bowl. And I think it'll be interesting to see if the coaching staff has any impact upon how aggressive players might play in the Pro Bowl. Seeing this is like, this might be it for the Pro Bowl, saying you hear like either the players play hard this year and they actually try in the game, or that might be it. And so I wonder if the you know, Mike McCarthy and his staff would feel any responsibility to be like, you're not playing hard, okay, you're sitting on the bench. Is that possible? Should they even do that? Should Mike McCarthy even have to do that in an exhibition game? I mean, I'm not sure he should really do that, because it doesn't count, and because, you know, people's likely livelihoods are at stake. You know, the players don't want to get injured, so they kind of slack off in the Pro Bowl. It is what it is. I don't know. It's weird. It's interesting. They used to try in the Pro Bowl. You know, just going back, I can remember my youth, my childhood in the early 90s. Watching the Pro Bowl, and they played hard. I mean, it was like an actual football game. Maybe not quite as intense as a regular season or playoff game, but they still played hard in the Pro Bowl. It seems like just since the last, I don't know, decade or so, gotten really bad. Really bad. Maybe a little more over a decade, but I remember in my childhood, the early 90s, them being, you know, watching that game and it being a competitive game. So, you know, the focus over the next several days, the next week, is where do the Packers go with, you know, within the organization. We're going to have a lot of time talking about the draft, how they replace these players, the personnel, things like that. You know, that's discussion for the next, you know, month or so. I mean, all the way up to the draft and free agency and all those things. How do the Packers improve the players on the defense and offense as well? But right now, the focus is internally. What's the direction they take within the organization? Are they going to make any changes at defensive coordinator or the staff as a whole? So that's what we're talking about now. That's what the talk for the rest of the week will be, until the Packers actually announce a new contract for Dom Capers or whatever, give him a vote of confidence. It's going to be the talking point. So we'll see as we wrap up here another edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. We'll be back again Friday morning, 2 days from now, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, even though it's the off season. There is no off season for us here at Railbird Central. We continue on, and we'll talk all off season long about the Green Bay Packers. So make sure to stay with us. On behalf of Jamie Jors, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll see you Friday. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs. And for the time being, I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.